بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد، after praising Allah and asking Him, beginning in His name and asking Him to raise the rank of our Prophet and Messenger Muhammad, we begin saying أما بعد. And last week we began our new series in explanation of Surah Al-Hadid, and we studied how many verses? One verse from Surah Al-Hadid. Walhamdulillah. We thank Allah Ta'ala and we ask Him for an increase in that. And then this week we come back together here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal in the city of Pittsburgh on the 21st. Is that right? The eve of the 21st, huh? In the month of Sha'ban, the year 1436. And look at how many days away from Ramadan we are. Next week. Allahumma zid wa barik. We have in front of us the study of two more verses from this great surah, from the works, or from the tafsir, the transcribed and edited tafsir of our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. And we will begin now with the second verse. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To him belongs the mulk. It's the mulk, the ownership, the dominion. The mulk, the ownership of as-samawati, of the heavens, and al-ard, and the earth. Ay, this means لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى وَحْدَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ خَلْقًا وَتَدْبِيرًا. This means that to Allah, the Most High alone, belongs the ownership or the dominion of the heavens and the earth. As it relates to khalq, He is the creator of those created things. And tadbir, what's tadbir? Dabbara, yudabbiru, tadbiran, to manage, right? To oversee and to be in control in a general way. فَلَا يَمْلِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ. So there is no one who owns the heavens and the earth except Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. يُحْيِي وَيُمِيت. Two more descriptions of Allah. He brings haya, He brings life, and He brings al-maut, and He brings death. أَيَّجَعَلْ الْجَمَادْ عَيَّا. He makes inanimate things alive. وَيُمِيتُ مَا كَانَ حَيَّا. And He brings death to the things that used to be alive. فَبَيْنَمَا نَرَى الْإِنسَانَ لَيْسَ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. We see the people at one time were nothing to be mentioned, nothing in existence at all. إِذَا بِهِ يَكُونُ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Then suddenly mankind exists and he has a story, he has a presence. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. As Allah the Most High has said in the beginning of Surah Al-Insan, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has there not come a time, or has there come a time upon mankind in all of the history or all of time that he was nothing to be mentioned? Has that actually happened? Actually, yes, that took place. There was a time before mankind existed. ثُمَّ يَبْقَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then mankind remains on earth. ثُمَّ يَعْدَمُ وَيَفْنَى. And then he will cease to exist and be done away with, or wear away, become nothing. He will again become nothing. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَبَرٌ مِنَ الْأَخْبَارِ. And in that case, suddenly he is what? Just a news report, just a report of something that happened. It was a live human being doing things, and he had his life going. All of a sudden, he's just a tale now. After his existence, nothing left of him, he's in the ground as a corpse, and now what is he? He's just a tale that's being told, a story that is left behind about something that he did. Subhanallah. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And Allah says, and He is above all things with قُدْرَ. With what? Power, ability, capabilities. He is above all things with capabilities. هَذِهِ جُمْلَةٌ خَبَرِيَّةٌ عَامَّ. This is a sentence that gives us information in a very general way. فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. All inclusive of everything. مِنْ مَوْجُودٍ وَمَعْدُومٍ. In all things that exist and don't exist. Meaning Allah Ta'ala is all powerful, unlimited, uninhibited. No one is going to come and put a limit or a some kind of restriction on Allah Ta'ala's capabilities. وَالْقُدْرَةُ صِفَةٌ تَقُومُ بِهِ الْقَادِرُ حَيْثُ يَفْعَلُ الْفِعْلَ بِلَا عَجِزٍ. In the meaning of qudra, someone being qadir, able, capable, is that he can do something without inability. He can do something without ajiz. Ajiz is something that would stop him from doing it. So the qadir is not the ajiz. They're two opposites. The ajiz is the one who can't do it, and the qadir is the one who can do it. Right? Tayyib. Allah Ta'ala, to add to this, just an important phrase, because there are people, it's amazing that we would need to even confirm this or emphasize this today. You would think a Muslim says, I have no problem saying that Allah is all-capable, can do anything, Allah is all-powerful, no limits on His capabilities. Yet what do we find today? People saying, no, there are many things Allah cannot do. Wallahi, it comes out of the tongue of a so-called Muslim. Comes off of the tongue of a so-called Muslim that he says, not only are there things Allah cannot do, I'll give you a list of 1,000 things Allah can't do. Then he begins to mention impossibilities and things, you know, philosophy. Allah can't make a short man tall at the same time. And he just, you want to say out of your mouth that Allah can't do everything. And you want the shock factor of that. You want all the heads to turn to you. And Allah Ta'ala says He is above all things with qudra. Huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. You have a comment. You have a footnote to say. No, not really. There are many things He cannot do. This is intellectualism that's based on philosophy that has no place in Islam. Say Allah Ta'ala is all capable of all things. And sometimes they say, well, Allah can't oppress us. Allah can't oppress us. Tayyib. Pay attention. Allah can't oppress you? Is Allah praiseworthy because He's unable to oppress you? Or is He praiseworthy because He can't oppress you and out of His wisdom and love and grace for you, He doesn't? The wall can't oppress you. Is the wall praiseworthy for not oppressing you? In terms of what is praiseworthy, when someone has the ability to harm you and to oppress you from the human beings here. Someone can oppress you. He's bigger than you. He's more powerful than you. He has more status than you, whatever. He could do something to oppress you. But He treats you as His brother, and He loves you, and He's graceful in His dealings with you, and He never oppresses you. Don't you say this person is praiseworthy? Because he has the ability to oppress, but he doesn't. Right? That's within the human beings. Do you say about a paraplegic who can't move that he's praiseworthy for not oppressing me? Do you praise him for not oppressing when he doesn't have the ability to oppress? Allahumma musta'an. Look at that, right? So Allah Ta'ala, look at what Allah has said about Himself. Inni haramtu dhulma ala nafsi. I made oppression haram upon myself. Allah has declared that He will not oppress you. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. And Allah is not going to oppress His servants or the servants. Who comes and says because He can't? Who would come along and say He's not going to oppress you because He's unable to oppress you? He's incapable of oppressing you. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Ma qadara Allah haqqa qadri. And they have not given Allah a fair estimate at all. They have not understood their Lord. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعْجِزَهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَلِيمًا قَدِيرًا. It is not for Allah that anything be beyond His capabilities in the heavens or on earth. Verily He is all-knowing and all-capable. It's sad that we even have to emphasize this point, but there are people calling themselves Muslims that say what? We cannot, it's not the correct teaching in Islam to say Allah can do anything. It's not proper, it's not correct for us to say Allah can do anything and everything. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These kinds of people need to be quiet. They need to shut their mouths. They need to praise Allah and say, huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and be quiet. He is above all things with capability. Who is going to inhibit, restrict, or limit the power and capability of Rabbul Alameen? That's ridiculous. And to claim so boldly to say, I have a list of things that Allah cannot do. This is an iridda. Ma ba'daha ridda. Apostasy. What apostasy is after this? When you say you have a list of things that you know of that Allah can't do. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Huwa al-awwalu wal-akhiru wal-zahiru wal-baatin. Then Allah says he is al-awwal. He describes himself with four names. Al-awwal and al-akhir. The awwal is, you guys should know because this is al-masjid al-awwal. Right? Allah is the first. Right? Wal-akhir, and he is the last. And he is al-dhahir, he's the uppermost. And he is al-batin, and he is the closest. Or sublimely close. Right? And we'll talk about the meanings of those words. So we have four names of Allah, which give us four descriptions of Allah. He is al-awwal as his name. The description is that he is the first with none before him. He is al-akhir as a name of Allah with none after him. Meaning he is the last, the eternal one with none after him. Not the last, but the eternal one with none after him. And he is al-dhahir, from his names, al-dhahir, the uppermost, the one who no one is above him. And he is al-batin, the sublimely close one, the one who no one is closer than him. And we'll talk about the meaning of that. Arba'at ashya, four things. Al-awwal, the first. Ay, alladhi laysa qablahu shay', the one who has none before him. Li'annahu law kana qablahu shay', lakana Allahu makhluqan. Rationally, had there been something before Allah, then that means Allah would be created. Ta'ala Allah, and Allah is exalted above that. He is the creator. Who would be before Allah? Right? وَهُوَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْخَالِقِ. He is the creator, the mighty and majestic. وَلِهَذَا فَسَّرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْأَوَّلَ الَّذِي لَيْسَ قَبْلَهُ شَيْءٍ. And this is why the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, explained or gave tafsir to the meaning of al-awwal as الَّذِي لَيْسَ قَبْلَهُ شَيْءٍ, the one who had no one before him, no one preceding him. فكل الموجودات بعد الله فليس معه أحد ولا قبله. So all things in existence, they are after Allah, Allah being the first. They are not that they were created at, you know, with, along with Allah, or that they preceded Allah. All of them are after Allah Ta'ala. والآخر, and Allah is also described as al-akhir, as a name, the last or the eternal. الذي ليس بعده شيء, the one who has none after him. None will remain after him. لأنه لو كان بعده شيء لكان ما يأتي بعده غير مخلوق لله. Because rationally speaking, if there would be something that would exist beyond or after Allah Ta'ala, then it would not be something created by Allah. It would not possibly be something of Allah's creation. والمخلوقات, and the created things, or the things in existence, كلها مخلوق لله عز وجل. All of them are creation, the creation of Allah Ta'ala, the Most High, or the Mighty and Majestic. فَهُوَ الْأَوَّلُ إِبْتِدَاءً لَهُ. He is the first thing, with everything beginning with him. وَالْآخِرُ لَيْسَ لَنْتِهَاءَ لَهُ. I'm sorry. فَهُوَ الْأَوَّلُ لَبْتِدَاءَ لَهُ. He is al-awwal. Important correction. فَهُوَ الْأَوَّلُ, he's the first. لَبْتِدَاءَ لَهُ. لَا إِبْتِدَاءَ لَهُ. There is no beginning for him. Right? As he is eternal. والآخر لا انتهاء له, لا انتهاء له. Some of the Arabs, if they hear لا انتهاء له, they say that's not how we say it. We say لا انتهاء له, right? Correct pronunciation, لا انتهاء له, لا ابتداء له ولا انتهاء له, right? همزة وصل. No ending. He has no end. He is the first with no beginning, the last, the eternal with no ending. لَيْسَ بَعْدَهُ شَيْءٍ, nothing after him. وَالظَّاهِرُ, now we come to this name, الظَّاهِرُ. قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي تَفْسِيرِهَا, and the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said in explanation of it, أَلَّذِي لَيْسَ فَوْقَهُ شَيْءٍ, the one who has no one above him. That's why I translated this initially as the uppermost. الظَّاهِرُ, the uppermost. فَكُلُّ الْمَخْلُقَاتِ تَحْتَهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ. So all created things are under him. And he is the mighty and most high. فَلَيْسَ فَوْقَهُ شَيْءٍ. So there's nothing above him. وَالْبَاطِنِ, and now the name الْبَاطِنِ, as I translated the sublimely close. قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, أَلَّذِي لَيْسَ دُونَهُ شَيْءٍ, the one who No one is closer than him. Right? لا يحول دونه شيء. There is nothing that would come closer than Allah Ta'ala. خبير عليم بكل شيء. All informed. All knowledgeable about everything. لا يحول دونه جبال. Nothing comes between him and the mountains. ولا أشجار and the trees. ولا جدران. No walls come between him and the person who's being seen, heard, and known about. ولا غير ذلك and nothing else like that. ليس دونه شيء. There is nothing, meaning nothing between him and the servant. Nothing closer to the servant than him. And some people are confused about the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. They say, how is Allah, as He has described Himself, above His creation, and at the same time, closer than anything? Right? Closer than al-habl al-wadid, closer than the jugular vein, closer than al-hulqum, right, that we learned about in the last surah. Closer than al-hulqum, the larynx, right? Closer than even the larynx. How is Allah closer to the servant than all of these things? Through his ilm, through his knowledge. And where is Allah Ta'ala with his dhat, bidatihi, fawqa al-arsh, fawqa makhluqatihi, above his throne, above all of his creation. Right? Allah Ta'ala, nothing escapes his knowledge in any place, yet he is above his creation. Al-awwalu wal-akhiru, the first and the last, ishtimalan ala umum al-zaman, relative to time. The first, none before him, the last, none after him, as it relates to time. والظاهر والباطن, the uppermost, the one who is above everything, and the one who is also, subhanAllah, closer to you than anything. على عموم المكان, regarding the general description of Allah as it relates to places. So we have descriptions of Allah that relate to time, and descriptions of Allah that relate to place. So Allah Ta'ala has defined for himself a place for his dhat, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa, that Allah has ascended above his throne. And we've seen here that he's described as a dhahir, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained the meaning of the word dhahir, the uppermost, as being what? Laysa fawqahu shay, nothing being above him. That's regarding his dhat, his presence. As it relates to his attributes of hearing, seeing, and knowledge, then these are in every place, and no place on earth would escape his knowledge, his hearing, and his seeing. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ, and he is about all things knowledgeable, or all knowledgeable. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ فَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِهِ, every single thing that there is in Allah is all-knowing about it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, there, verily Allah, nothing is hidden from him, nothing at all on earth, and nothing in the heavens. فَلَوْ عَمِلَ الْإِنسَانُ فِي جَوْفِ بَيْتِهِ فِي حُجْرَةٍ مُظْلِمَةٍ, a person did something in the depths of his house, in a dark room. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَعْلَمُ عَمَلَهُ, then Allah, the Most High, knows what he does, knows about his action. بَلْ زِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ, moreover, add this to it. أَنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُكَ, he knows about your inner whisperings. He knows what your soul, what is whispered about within your soul. كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, as Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, has said, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ, and verily we have created mankind, and we know that which his own soul talks to him about, or whispers to him about. From Surah Qaf. وَأَنْتَ إِذَا فَكَّرْتَ فِي شَيْءٍ, and if you were to think about a matter, اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَكُونَ, Allah knows about it before it even takes place. وَيَعْلَمُ الْمَاضِي الْبَعِيدِ, and he knows about past events that are in the distant past. وَيَعْلَمُ الْمُسْتَقْبَلَ الْبَعِيدِ, and he knows about the distant future. وَيَعْلَمُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, and he knows about every matter. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, and thus Musa, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, لَمَّا سَأَلَهُ فِرْعَوْنُ, when Fir'aun asked him this question, فَمَا بَالُ الْقُرُونِ الْأُولَى, what is the information or what is the report about the earlier generations? يَعْنِي شَأْنُهَا قُصَّهَا عَلَيْنَا, He was asking about the reports of the previous people. Give us historical, factual information about the previous generations. Give us the story. Tell us about it. قَالَ عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَابٍ His response was what? The knowledge of that is with my Lord in a book. لَا يُضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى My Lord does not stray, nor does He forget. لَا يَضِلُّ مَعْنَاهُ لَا يَجْهَلْ لَا يَضِلْ doesn't stray, meaning from the knowledge He doesn't forget. I'm sorry, he's not ignorant of something. He doesn't have an absence of knowledge of any affair. لِأَنَّ الضَّلَالَ مَعْنَاهُ الْجَهَلْ Because the meaning of dalal is jahl. Jabir. That's not a finger, is it? Okay. دائماً في الدروس إذا أخطأت في آية وفي حديث وفي كلام صححوني. بارك الله فيكم. Just reminding our brothers. If you hear a mistake, not allowed to be quiet about mistakes. So sometimes I see someone going like this and they're just touching their nose and I think that they might be shy to say something. I might have made a mistake and I think a correction might be coming or something. So he asked Musa and Musa replied, the knowledge is with Allah in a book and Allah لا يضل and He doesn't have ignorance. ولا ينسى nor does He have forgetfulness. لأن الضلال معناه الجهل ضلال here, the meaning of misguidance, the word ضلال is جهل, ignorance. كما قال الله عز وجل في نبيه As Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said about His Prophet وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى And Allah found you, O Muhammad, ضال What's ضال here? Unaware, without knowledge فَهَدَى Without hidayah, without guidance And then Allah gave the hidayah to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم SubhanAllah That ayah is so amazing That even the most guided of the creation of Allah was before Allah gave him that hidayah, Ba'al, was astray, without knowledge, unaware. Ba'al, jahil, without knowledge. As the Shaykh says here, Ba'al laysa ma'nahu fasiq. The meaning of Ba'al here is not a disobedient person or a sinful person. Bal ma'nahu annahu jahil. Rather, the meaning was that he didn't have knowledge. He was jahil. He didn't have knowledge. لا يدري He didn't know كما قال تعالى As Allah said in another verse from Surah Shura The first verse وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى You know it from Surah Al-Duha Now we go to Surah Shura Surah Al-Shura وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا And thus we have revealed to you a ruh, a spirit from our order, from our affair مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ You didn't used to know what the kitab was, nor faith. Who is Allah addressing here? Ma kunta? Who is anta here? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma kunta tadri mal kitabu wal al-iman. So Allah has reminded him that his knowledge was learned and gained, and a blessing from Allah and hidayah, or guidance from Allah ta'ala. Wa qala ta'ala, one more verse even, from Surah Al-Ankabut. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ إِذًا لَرْتَابَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ And you didn't used to recite from before, from a book, nor did you used to write with your hand. Addressing who? Our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had that been the case, then the people of falsehood would have had a reason to be doubtful. Meaning, he's written the Qur'an from his own knowledge. Right? So, He's brought the Qur'an and he's, you know, done things from his own self. But rather, he was an unread person, illiterate. طيب. إِذَنَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ Then, therefore, Allah is the one who is knowledgeable about all things. وَإِذَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ So if you know that Allah is about all things knowledgeable about every affair, هَلْ يُمْكِنُكَ أَن تُقْدِمَ عَلَى مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ Is it possible for you to approach an affair of disobedience of Allah, وَأَنْتَ فِي خَفَاءٍ عَنِ النَّاسِ While you're in privacy, you're in seclusion, away from the people. لا. And the Shaykh in the original audio was saying, answer me. لا. لِأَنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُكَ Because you know that Allah knows about you. قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ Or do they assume that we don't hear their secret talk and their counsel and their private counsel? الجواب بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ Those of you who have the printing, the word bala should be part of the I. Bala wa rusuluna ladayhim yaktubun. Is bala part of the ayat in the printing? It's made like it's not part of the ayat. Anyway, so make a note that that's actually part of the ayat, the bala. That's from Surah Az-Zukhruf, to review it, verse number 80. The answer is, of course we hear. I mean, of course we hear their private counsel and their private talks. And our messengers are with them writing. Who are the messengers of Allah writing? The angels. Barakallahu feekum. فَإِذَا أَنْتَ آمَنْتَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَجَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ عَلِيمٌ So if you have come to believe that Allah, the Mighty and Most High, is all-knowing, بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ about every single matter, فَإِنَّهُ يَسْتَلْزَمُ أَنْ لَا تَقُومَ بِمَعْصِيَتِهِ And this requires that you do not perform acts of disobedience to Him. وَلَوْ فِي الْخَفَىٰ Even if that be in private. That you do not stop obeying him. Even if we're talking about, or even in private, secluded situations. وَلَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنْ نُوحٍ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ And Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said about the Prophet Noah, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, أَنَّهُ قَالَ وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ And verily, every time I called them for you to forgive them, they placed their fingers in their ears. لِأَجِلِي أَنْ لَا يَسْمَعُوا There's a bit of some kind of missing flow here. Do you notice that? The flow of the speech are kind of changed here. The Shaykh was in an admonition about how can you disobey Allah in secret when you believe that He sees you. And then we're going into... okay, it's there, it's together, it's going to come together. I didn't see the flow. Tayyib, it's together. Now, so they would what? They would put their fingers in their ears so as not to hear. وَاسْتَغْشَوْ ثِيَابَهُمْ And they would draw their clothes up. So to block, to not see, you know, to cover their faces and everything. So as not to see anything. لِأَلَّا يُبْصِرُوا بِهَا So they wouldn't see it. وَلِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ And Allah's refuge. Refuge with Allah is sought. لِأَنَّهُمْ يَكْرَهُونَ الْحَقِّ Because they used to hate the truth. وَقَوْلُهُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ And He is about all things knowledgeable. يَشْمَلُ أَفْعَالَ الْعِبَادِ وَأَقْوَالَ الْعِبَادِ It also includes... It includes the state, the actions of people and the statements of people as well. بَلْ إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَا فِي قَلْبِ الْإِنسَانِ Moreover, He even knows what is in the heart of a person. وَإِنْ لَمْ يُظْهِرُهُ Even if He doesn't bring it out. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى As Allah the Most High has said, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانِ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ We have created mankind and we know that which his soul whispers to him about. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبَلِ الْوَرِيدِ We are closer to him than his own jugular vein. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدِ When the two receiving angels sit on the right and on the left, meaning at the time of death to receive the soul. فَإِيَّاكَ So be warned. أَن تُضْمِرَ فِي قَلْبِكَ شَيْئًا يُحَاسِبُكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ That you have something in your heart that Allah is going to hold you accountable for. Now here the Shaykh is going to say, the wasawis are excused and it's a very gentle understanding, just as his admonition is here that we have to return to with some closer examination. He says, لَكِنَّ الْوَسَاوِسَ الَّتِي تَطْرَعُ عَلَى الْقَلْبِ لَا يَمِيلُ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَيْهَا بَلْ يُحَارِبُهَا وَيُحَاوِلُ الْعَبْدُ يُحَاوِلُ الْبُعْدُ عَنْهَا الْبُعْدَ عَنْهَا بِقَدْرِ إِمْكَانِهِ لَا تَضُرُّهُ شَيْئًا Sorry for that long string of Arabic there. However, whisperings that he has within him, in his heart, that he does not chase after, rather he fights against, right? And he tries to stay away from as much as possible, they don't harm him at all. So then we need to understand what's going on here. He said, watch out, be warned. of having something in your heart that Allah will hold you accountable for. And then he says, as for the whisperings that are in the chest, that are in the heart, that you push and repel, then you're not accountable for them or they won't harm you. So what does he mean when he says, watch out for having something in your heart that Allah will hold you accountable for? We have bughd, nafis, example. Corrupt intentions, ahsan. We have hatred for the awliya, hatred of anything that Allah sent down. It doesn't appear, it's in the heart. Right? Hasad, jealousy is in the heart. Aywa. Lots of things that are in the heart that you'll be accountable for. These are things that the shaitan whispers into your chest and you foster them. With your actions and your thoughts and your interaction with your heart, you develop them. And you strengthen them. And you don't resist them and you don't push them away. What happens when you have filthy thoughts in your heart? What about people who have straight satanic things come into their heart? Straight satanic things. Horrible things. Things you could never even mention to anyone. What about this kind of person? What do you say? Filthy soul, Abdullah? Don't say that. That's wrong. That's wrong. Why? The Sahaba. Listen. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we find things in our heart that are so abominable that we would never even be able to speak about them. The Sahaba, the best of generations. They have these things in their hearts. They say what? Exact wording. قَالُوا إِنَّا نَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِنَا مَا يَتَعَظَمُ أَحَدُنَا أَن يَتَكَلَّمَ بِهِ. I mean, horrible things. They could be thoughts of apostasy. They could be thoughts of filthy sexual things. They could be thoughts of the nastiest types of things. Listen to what the Prophet said, and I'm not saying that about the Sahaba, I'm just saying in general, human beings have these thoughts that come to them. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَقَدْ وَجَدْتُمُوهُ. You have detected these things within you? And they said, نعم, we have, we've been able to detect them. He said, ذَاكَ سَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ. That's the essence of faith right there. People think sometimes the shaitan gets them. They say, Indi wasawis, shaytaniya khabitha. I have these filthy, satanic things that come to my heart. Nasty things come to my mind. You're not accountable for the nature of those things. Bushra, wallahi, good news. Tell this to every homosexual. Because this is good news for the homosexuals. Meaning, those who have been tested with the wasawis of homosexuality. Doesn't have to be a homosexual. He, like everybody else, from the Qadr of Allah al-Kawni, is being tried with whims and desires. And the shaitan comes and whispers with the nastiest of things. And you're not accountable for the nature of what the shaitan whispers into your heart. What are you accountable for? How you interact and how you respond with what you find in your heart. Everybody can just breathe a sigh of relief if they understand this. Ah, yashah, yartah. And the wasawis that come from the shaitan, we're not accountable for how nasty and how filthy they are. Unless we don't repel them. Unless we foster them. Unless we start developing our thoughts around them. When that nasty thought comes to you, you say, oh, what would that be like? And you start imagining. Now this is your action. It's not the waswasa of the shaitan anymore. Now it's your thought, your contemplation, your development. Now you are accountable for what's in your heart. If it came to you as nasty and as filthy as it would be, came to you in your heart, don't think that this is a proof that you are a filthy soul or a horrible person. But Allah Ta'ala chooses to try people with different things. And some people are tried with nasty thoughts that come to their heart. Right? Repel them, seek refuge with Allah, mention Allah, read the book of Allah Ta'ala, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, and so on. And do not follow up on these thoughts. Quite simply, push them away, repel them. Internal jihad, internal struggle right there. Ongoing internal jihad for each and every one of us. If a homosexual could hear this, and I'm saying homosexual again, what I mean is, a person that's been tried with whisperings of homosexuality, if he could understand this, he wouldn't reject Islam. He would embrace Islam. Because no one else on earth is able to tell these people with these whims how to handle things. No one else on earth has a solution for them. got the liberals, they say what? Be a hero and bring out what you, you know, bring it out and tell everybody what you feel and follow your desires and behave like an animal. The dog walks down the street and smells something and he wants to go there, he goes there. He's an animal. He doesn't think about what he does. He just follows his whims. Now, heroes are the ones who follow their animalistic instincts, their whisperings in their heart from the shaitan. That's what makes a person a hero now. So if liberals saying that, you're a hero. Come out, you know, tell the world what you're about. Tell everybody and you'll be a hero. You have other people who will blame them for the wasawis, the other extreme. You're a filthy person because of those thoughts. Ah. Well, alhamdulillah, in Islam we have the balance in everything. You're not a filthy person because of the thoughts. You're being tried with filthy thoughts that are from the filthy shaitan. You're not a filthy person or considered to be a person of filthy acts or anything until you act on those, until you embrace them, until you accept them and work by them and build them and grow them and foster them and so on. Now you're accountable. Now we can call you filthy if you've accepted that. But as long as you reject it, we say about you, mu'min. Mu'min, believer, shari'ah al-iman, has pure iman. The fact that you find something and you say that's horrible, and you identify it, and you reject it, that means you're upon a level of purity in your iman. Rejoice and thank Allah for that. And don't take it the other way, where you say that must mean I'm filthy, I'm a horrible person. That, you're a mu'min with shari'ah al-iman, subhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with this sarih al-iman, and the ability to identify and recognize those whisperings for what they are. Because there are people who get those whisperings and they don't see them as evil. They say it's natural, these are just thoughts, and they start following them. And then there are people who recognize them as soon as they come into their hearts as evil, because they have sarih al-iman, hafid. صريح الإيمان صريح الإيمان أيوة manifest إيمان okay pure it could be ظاهر it could be what they call in Arabic محض الإيمان إيمان خالص pure إيمان manifest ظاهر clear بين that's all that's included here in the meaning of صريح الإيمان it's a praise for people who have good solid إيمان. That's what's meant by ذَاكَ سَرِيحَ الْإِيمَانِ. He was praising them for identifying filthy whisperings and shunning them, right? And being concerned about them as well. All of that. When a person comes, subhanAllah, there have been so many people come to me, not only here, but in lots of places where I've been, and they say, I have these wasawis. And I give them the good news. I say, you're concerned about those things. You think you're being tried and afflicted with something beyond other people. Everyone has that. Everyone's being tried with inclinations to do haram things or there would be no test in this dunya. SubhanAllah. You're concerned in coming to me. Don't think you're one of the weak believers. This is strength in iman right here. This is strength and purity of a person's iman. Be thankful to Allah and ask Him to increase you in that. And a lot of times people, they for the first time they've heard these kind of things. SubhanAllah. That's true, pure, in the untainted, manifest, solid iman. That you can sense these things and that you can be disgusted by them and be horrified by them and have a stance against them that's appropriate for someone who encounters such beliefs. Now, Nafis. To continue, there was the mention of Nuh. Tayyib, just before that, the Shaykh was saying something I need to clarify as well. He was saying, how could you disobey Allah when you know that Allah sees you everywhere? And it's required that since you know Allah sees you in every place, then you cannot disobey Allah then in private or in seclusion. What's the Shaykh doing here? Has he left Ahlul Sunnah and joined the ranks of the Khawarij and now he's making takfir of sinners? This is the same logic used by the Khawarij. They have a different result that they get to. They say, since you say that you believe Allah sees you, then how could you disobey Allah if you know Allah sees you? So the only way out for you that the Khawarij say is that you disobey Allah because you don't truly believe that He sees you. So you don't truly believe in Allah. That's how your sin has taken you outside of Islam. It's a proof that you don't truly have any consciousness of Allah. That's the only way you could have committed that kind of crime. That's the Khawarij and what they say. That's not what the Shaykh is saying. The Shaykh is just giving us an admonition, which is the way of Ahlul Sunnah as it relates to right? Taqwa of Allah and sensing the presence of Allah's seeing and hearing and all of that, that it stops you from what? Stops you from sinful behavior. Are we to just sit here and refute the Ash'aris and refute the Mu'tazila and refute the Jahmiyyah about their speech about the attributes, and so we affirm the attribute of Allah that He's Al-Alim and it doesn't affect our private behavior? Is that what it is? It's just a theology, like just a theory that we have about Allah, that He's all-seeing, but yet when we go and we're secluded alone, it has no impact on our behavior? Allahu musta'an. And this is from the benefits of affirming the attribute, is that it has a real impact in your life. So I'm a servant of Allah, and this, my Lord sees me in every situation. My Lord sees me when the doors are closed and when the lights are off and when I'm in private seclusion. My Lord sees me in all of those. And He's a Sami'in, and He's Al-Alim, and He is all hearing, and He's all knowing. It's not just names that we're affirming as a theology. It's not just, you know, attributes and things like that, just refuting people of innovation. But where is the impact on a person's, you know, behavior with Allah Ta'ala? May Allah make us all better. Amen. So then the Shaykh, I don't want you to understand that the Shaykh was saying there is no iman for a person who sins. He claims that he knows Allah sees him, yet he sins. It's not understood that he said that that person is not a Muslim. He's challenging his audience, he's challenging the believers to manifest their belief in Allah being all-hearing and all-seeing and all-knowing, to have an impact on their private behavior. That's what we understand from that. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Lakin, where did I go here? Qalban saliman. Innama ya'ti. And the Shaykh mentioned, بَلْ هِيَ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ إِيمَانِهِ. Talking about the wasawis, and you being able to detect those wasawis, he said, بَلْ هِيَ دَلِيلٌ. That ability to detect those whisperings, that is proof, عَلَىٰ إِيمَانِهِ, of his faith. And the Shaytan, because the shaytan innama ya'ti ila al-qalb, he just comes to the heart. Fayulqi alayhi al-wasawis, and he casts these whisperings into the heart. Idha kana qalban saliman, if it's a good clean heart. We'll pause now to listen to the adhan, insha'Allah ta'ala. These beautiful words, subhanAllah. What a beautiful majlis this is, and what a beautiful reading this is from these great words of our scholar. Saying these whisperings, when a person is disturbed by these whisperings, that what? It's a proof of his iman. Because why? The shaytan, إِنَّمَا يَأْتِ إِلَى الْقَلْبِ, only comes to the heart, فَيُلْقِ عَلَيْهِ الْوَسَاوَسِ إِذَا كَانَ قَلْبًا سَلِيمًا. He only comes to the heart that is clean, to whisper into it, to cause corruption, because it's not corrupt yet. Allahu Akbar, Bushra, Wallahi, good news. أَمَّا إِذَا كَانَ قَلْبًا غَيْرَ سَلِيمٍ, if it's a heart that's not clean and pure, فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يُوَسْوِسُ لَهُ. Shaytan doesn't come and whisper into it. Why not? لِأَنَّهُ قَدْ انْتَهَى. Corrupt, destroyed heart, the shaytan doesn't need to bother. The shaytan is concerned about the heart that's clean, and he wants to corrupt it. So aside from all of that benefit that we've got, look at this one. More confidence that if you are a person who can recognize wasawis, not only are you a believer with good solid belief, you can have confidence that your ulama are telling you this is a sign of your belief, a sign that your heart is in good shape, it's alive and kicking, and your connection to your heart is a live connection. Good news, wallah. People tend to, not, when they don't get this, there are people who can get depressed. Having these, you know, they can drive them to depression. They say, I have so many wasawis, I have so many whisperings. Subhanallah. When they know this, it's empowering, isn't it? It's empowering. So good news. Spread the good news to your brothers if they come to you and say, you know, I have these satanic whisperings that come to me. Tell them the good news. Share this with them. Allahu Akbar. هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, and then he ascended above the throne. يَعْلَمُ مَا يَلِجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, he knows about all of the things that what? That go into the earth. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ means he created the heavens and the earth. It means أَوْجَدَهَا, he brought them about. عَزَّ وَجَلْ, the mighty and majestic. بِكُلِّ نِظَامٍ وَتَقْدِيرٍ, with every type of system that is found, ecosystems and whatnot, and every type of measurement. وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ سَبْعٌ وَالْأَرَضُونُ سَبْعٌ. And the number of heavens, skies, is seven, and the number of earth is seven. وَالْأَرْضُ سَابِقَةٌ عَلَى السَّمَاءِ. And the earth, سَابِقَةٌ عَلَى السَّمَاءِ, I think he means the opposite. We'll see. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَالَ فِي سُورَةِ فُصِّلَتْ. As Allah the Most High said in Surah Fussilat, لَمَّا ذَكَرَ خَلْقِ الْأَرْضِ, when he mentioned the creation of the earth, قَالَ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٍ. Then he put his focus on the heavens. Here the istiwa has ila, and it's not ala. Istawa ila. He set his focus to the heavens, وَهِيَ دُخَانٍ, while it was smoke. فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ, and he said to it, and the earth. Okay, there it is. So the heaven has not been created yet, or the skies haven't been created yet, and the earth is already present. That's the point of the shaykh. إِئْتِيَا تَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا. Come, willingly or unwilling. قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. They said, we come willingly. From Surah Fussilat. And we're coming to seven earths. It's coming. لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْدَأُ بِالسَّمَاوَاتِ. Allah begins by mentioning the samawat, لِأَنَّهَا أَشْرَفْ, because it is more noble, more distinct, من الْأَرْضِ, than the earth, وَأَعْلَى مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, it is of a higher status, rank, than the earth. And since he doesn't explain that, we'll say, who are the dwellers of the heavens? They are the noble and obedient angels, right? And who are the dwellers of the earth? They're the jinn and the mankind, and much disobedience takes place. So in terms of the sharaf, the nobleness of the heavens, that's connected to the obedience. There's not a place of four fingers in the heavens, except that there's an angel there making sujood, making ruku' to Allah Ta'ala. طيب. وَسَمَوَاتُ بَيْنَهَا مَسَافَةٌ بَعِيدَةٌ جِدًّا جِدًّا. And the heavens, between themselves, there are expansive distances that exist between each two heavens. Between each two heavens. وَهَذَا يَلْزَمُ أَن يَكُونَ أَصْغَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ سَمَاءُ الدُّنْيَا. سَمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا. That requires, or that leads us to understand, that the smallest of the heavens is the closest heaven. The heaven, our heaven, that which we see. وَيَلِيهَا الثَّانِيَ وَالثَّالِثَ. And then in size, they get bigger. The second and then the third being bigger. كُلُّ وَاحِدَ أَوْسَى مِنَ الْأُخْرَى. Each and every one of them being more expansive than the other one, than the one beneath it. سَاعَةً عَظِيمًا. With a great, huge amount of difference in that size. وَهِيَ طِبَاقٌ مُتَطَابِقًا. And there are levels or layers that are placed upon one another. بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. One above the other. وَفِي حَدِيثِ الْمِعْرَاجِ أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. In the hadith of al-mi'raj, the night journey, the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and that of his family and grant them all peace, كُلَّمَا صَعِدَ إِلَىٰ سَمَاءٍ. Each and every time he reached a new level of the heavens, he sought permission to enter it or to pass it, and that permission was granted to him. وَالْأَرْضُ جَعَلَهَا اللَّهُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ بِصِيغَةِ الْإِفْرَادِ. Here it comes, the seven earths. And the earth has been mentioned in the texts of the Quran as being singular, the earth, al-ard. You hear as-samawati wal-ard, the skies or the heavens, and al-ard, the earth, one singular earth. لكن الله تعالى, however, Allah the Most High, أشار إلى أنها متعددة. However, Allah has alluded to the fact that they are multiple earths in His statement في قوله الله الذي خلق سبع سماوات ومن الأرض مثلهن. And Allah is the one who created seven heavens, and from the earth its likes. Similarly with the earth, seven earths, that's understood but not stated. That's from Surah At-Talaq, the 12th verse. أَيْ مِثْرَهُنَّ فِي الْعَدَدِ. Similar, the earth is similar to the heavens in the number of earths. لَا فِي الصِّفَةِ, not in the description. لِأَنَّ تَمَاثُلْ فِي الصِّفَةِ بَيْنَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ بَعِيدٌ جِدًّا. Because the difference is between the heavens, the actual creation of the heavens and the creation of the earth, they are extremely different creations. لكن مثلهن في العدد, the meaning of he has created the earth like the heavens, meaning in the number of earths that there are seven. وصرحت بذلك السنة, and the sunnah explicitly clarifies that. في قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, in the statement of the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. This hadith is collected by both al-Bukhari and Muslim. من اقتطع شبرا من الأرض ظلما طوقه الله يوم القيامة به من سبع أراضين. من سبع أراضين. Whoever takes off a shibr, a shibr from the tip of the fingers to the elbows, I'm sorry, a shibr is the tip of the fingers to the bottom of the hand. That's a shibr. What's this called? A dira. Right? The shibr is a handspan. The dira is a cubit. They call it a cubit, from the elbow to the tips of the fingers. So whoever takes the land, whoever steals land oppressively, you know, sometimes playing with the markers on the land, where someone has like a little wooden pole that shows the end of his land, and you move that a little bit just because you want to build something there, and you're the neighbor, bad neighbor right here. Right? Because if you did that a shibr's length, a handspan's length, what's going to happen to you on the Day of Judgment? Allah Ta'ala will make him wear or make upon him seven earths. The weight of seven earths and the gravity of seven earths will be upon him. Subhanallah. As found in Bukhari and Muslim. Never think that an act of oppression is small. Never think that a tiny amount of oppression is something small. Look at what it turns into on the Day of Judgment. Just one small act. وَخَلَقَهَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. And Allah created the earth in 6 days. Or the heavens and the earth in 6 days. وَالْأَيَامُ أَطْلَقَهَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَمْ يُبَيِّنْ أَنَّ الْيَوْمَ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً أَوْ أَقَلَّ أَوْ أَكْثَرَ. And Allah mentioned the word day, and He didn't say the day is 50,000 years or more or less. He just left it as the word day. And in the reason why the Shaykh is saying that is because of وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. A statement of Allah in Surah Al-Hajj. That a day with your Lord is like 1,000 years. One of your 1,000 years to you is like a day with Allah. طيب? As from what you count. Right? Another verse, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. This is about what? The adab, the punishment on the Day of Judgment. تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِخْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ. So there's another day mentioned in the opening verses of Surah Al-Ma'arij, that one day is 50,000 years. So these days with Allah in the hereafter as well, these days are not the days that we know. And add to that a third reason why you say maybe the day that Allah was telling us about that He created things in, He created the sun and the moon in those days. So before the sun and the moon were created, how were the days being counted? All of these are affairs of the unseen, which make us wonder what the meaning of yawm is. What was the meaning of 6 days that Allah Ta'ala has intended? So the Shaykh concludes, وَإِذَا أُطْلِقَ يُحْمَلُ عَلَى الْمَعْرُوفِ الْمَعْهُودِ وَهِيَ أَيَامُنَا هَذِهِ. And if it's generalized that the word day is mentioned, then it's mentioned that it's understood to be, as a default, the day that we know and are used to, until there's specific evidence to say it's a longer or shorter day. وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّهَا الْأَحَدُ وَالْإِثْنَيْنِ وَالثُّلَثَاءُ وَالْأَرْبِعَاءُ وَالْخَمِيسُ وَالْجُمُعَةُ. It comes in a hadith that these days are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Right? فَالْجُمُعَةُ مُنْتَهَى خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And that on Jumu'ah is the end of the creation of the heavens and the earth. وَمُبْتَدَأُهُ الْأَحَدُ. And the beginning of the creation is on يوم الأحد, Sunday. وَالسَّبْتُ لَيْسَ فِيهِ خَلْقٌ لَبْتِدَاءً وَلَنْتِهَاءً. And there is no creation that took place on Saturday, no creation mentioned that took place in that hadith on Saturday, on Sept. Right? Where do we get that hadith from? You guys have the footnotes, right? Sahih Muslim. No, it's in Sahih Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَخَذَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, or that Abu Hurairah said, أَخَذَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِيَدِي. Abu Hurairah took the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, took hold of my hand. قَالَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ تُرْبَةَ يَوْمَ السَّبْتِ. And there's a mistake there, because he's saying sept, there's nothing, and then in the hadith is a sept being mentioned. Right? On the day of sept, Saturday, the ground was created. Allah created the ground, meaning the earth. وَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا الْجِبَالِ يَوْمَ الْأَحَدِ. Then on Sunday, the mountains were created. وَخَلَقَ الشَّجَرَ يَوْمَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ. And the trees were created on Monday. وَخَلَقَ الْأَرْضِ. وَخَلَقَ الْمَكْرُوهَ يَوْمَ الثُلَثَاءِ. Then he created the detested things, meaning the fitan, the trials and tribulations. On Tuesday. وَخَلَقَ النُّورَ يَوْمَ الْأَرْبِعَاءِ. Then he created the light on Wednesday. وَبَثَ فِيهَا الدَّوَابَ يَوْمَ الْخَمِيسِ. And then he sent forth the animals on the day of Thursday. وَخَلَقَ آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ بَعْدَ الْعَصْرِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ. And he created Adam on the day of Jum'ah after Asr. So this leaves the statement of our Shaykh in opposition to the text, if you've noticed, right? That he said on Saturday there's nothing. The text says what? Specifically right out of Sahih Muslim, that on Saturday Allah created the earth. And then there's something mentioned for each of the 7 days, in actuality. Last little point here, finishing up the tafsir of this verse. فَإِذَا قَالَ قَائِلٌ أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ قَادِرًا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَخُلُقَهَا فِي لَحْظَةٍ. Is it not that Allah is capable of creating all of that in one instance? In one moment? Right? فَالْجَوَابُ. Then the response is, بَلَىٰ, of course. لِأَنَّ أَمْرَهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. His affair is that if he wishes something to be, he says be, and it is. وَإِنَّمَا خَلَقَهَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. And he created them in 6 days. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. And Allah knows best. لِحِكْمَتَيْنِ. Due to two points of wisdom. And we'll say based on the hadith, 7 days. Right? Meaning that every day has something created in it. Is there any day missing from the hadith? At-turba, sept. Al-jibal, ahad. Al-shajab, ithneen. Al-makruh, thulatha. Al-nur, arbi'ah. Al-dawab, khamis. And then Adam, jum'ah. All seven are there, right? Fayyah. وَإِنَّمَا خَلَقَهَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. He said sitta. We're going to change that based on the hadith to seven. Meaning the details of everything that he's mentioned here. Of course, in the book of Allah, there's a mention of 6 days as well. Right? So, perhaps from some angles we can say that certain things that Allah intended to inform us of have been created in 6 days. And then other things that more details have come from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been created in 7 days. Now the belief that on the seventh day Allah rested is the belief of who? The belief of the Nasara, the belief of the Christians. Al-hikmat al-ula. He says the reason why, or the reasons that we can benefit, or the benefits we can gain from understanding that Allah created these things in a series of days. The first one, أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْمَخْلُقَاتِ يَتَرَتَّبُ بَعْضُهَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ. That these created things, they are placed upon one another. The trees are placed on the earth, and so on. So they are levels and they are placed upon one another. Meaning so stages for the creation. Stages for the creation. فَرَتَّبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بَعْضَهَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ حَتَّى أَحْكَمَهَا. So Allah placed some of them on top of others until He had perfected them, or created them with perfection. وَانْتَهَى مِنْهَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. He finished them in 6 days. الْحِكْمَةُ الثَّانِيَةُ. The second point of wisdom we benefit from. And Allah عَلَّمَ عِبَادَهُ أَتُؤَدُّ. What's it? أَتُؤَدَّ. وَتَأَنِّي. يعني الأداء المتقن. You need to do things with perfection and to think or to plan things out precisely. You could say, وَأَنَّ الْأَهَمَّ إِحْكَامُ الشَّيْءِ لَا الْفَرَاغَ مِنْهُ. And that what's most important is what? Perfecting the creation of something, or perfecting something, and not just finishing it. حَتَّى يَتَأَنَّ الْإِنسَانُ فِي مَا يَصْنَعُهُ. So that a person would think carefully about what he builds or what he does. فَعَلَّمَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ عِبَادَهُ التَّأَنِّيَ فِي الْأُمُورِ. So Allah, the Exalted, had taught His servants to be deliberate in how they plan things. أَلَّتِي هِيَ هُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. The things that they are able to do. وَكِلَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ وَجِيهِ. And both points of wisdom have an angle. وَقَدْ تَكُونُ هُنَاكَ حِكَمٌ أُخْرَى لَا نَعْلَمُهَا. And there could be other points of wisdom to be extracted about why Allah created the creation in a number of days or stages when He could have made everything kun fayakun. وَمَعَ هَذَا لَا نَجْزَمُ بِهِ. And we do not have any, you know, with that possibility, we can't say decisively. وَنَقُولُ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. And we say, and Allah knows best. This is what Allah Ta'ala has made easy for us this evening. My apologies for going over the time. صَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلَّمُ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيَّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.